how can we create a strong and high performance team? Based on the work I do, based on all the lessons I'm learning, you know, in the last 25 years, I want to share with you five key lessons and takeaways from the latest work I have done with executive teams that could be maybe useful for you to consider to see what potentially is missing in your team in order to get really what I call the high performance team. So let's get going. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the World Class Leader Show. So for many leaders, if not for all leaders, if there is one thing that is at the top of the agenda, at the top of priorities, sometimes a concern, sometimes is actually something that they are proud of, is creating a very, very strong and high performance team. So if I look at my experience, first as a team leader, and then as an executive and performance coach to teams, and I do a lot of work with high-performing teams, primarily at very senior level, so leadership team, executive teams, I would say that I know a lot about teams. It's something I study, something I learn. And look, the more you work with teams, the more you understand dynamics, and every single engagement or session that you do with teams, at least to me, it reveals something new. It's like I'm always in this sort of discovery for myself in what I can learn today that I didn't know before. So this kind of a self-reflection is part of my journey, is part of who I am. So it's quite normal for me to make some sort of stop point and reflect on how teams perform and how I can actually they can become something extraordinary. So if I look back to, you know, my latest experience, I was considering what I knew many, many years ago when I was actually team leader and what I can say I learned along the way that could be maybe useful for all people that are leading teams right now. So I came up with five things. So let me get to these five and really to see whether they resonate with you and make sense, okay? So the first point I would say is the team's ability to think strategically. What I mean by that is when your team past performance, for example, are not great, you really tend to underestimate the people's ability to come up with new and creative solutions. It's like they're stuck into the past and they really struggle to get something new, something different, something creative. But if teams are really made up of individuals with diverse skills and experiences, and given the opportunity to think outside the box, they can really often come up with breakthrough ideas. So I think the lesson here is, first, the past, if there is no any sort of mechanism or way to get rid of the past in their mind, it will still really hit them, even if they don't say. So the past needs to be at some point resolved or getting, you know, sort of closer with the past. And second is, the composition of the team is going to really help you to create a sort of breakthrough idea. So when I look at teams, the first thing I'm trying to understand is whether the team is really diverse. And again, it's not gender, although it's very important, that diversity, but also it's really skills and experiences around the table. And I have some example of teams I work with. They're perfectly made by very diverse people, others they probably not. And that's no surprise when you don't get much creative ideas out of these sort of teams. So that's number one. Number two, I would say, is the team's willingness to take risk. And in the current climate, I think that is super important. So if we're really worried about making mistakes, so we really unconsciously encourage our team to play safe. It's normal. Sometimes, look, we are very intentional. We say, look, I want to play safe for a reason or another. By the way, I don't recommend that. But, you know, sometimes organizations need to go through turnaround or cost saving or reduction. So, unfortunately, they need to play safe to be conservative so they can play something bigger more audacious in the future, so understandable. However, sometimes it's not so intentional, so it's more into the unconscious. Because people really understand, even if we don't say so, they understand whether someone like a leader is really driven by the worry and the fear of making any sort of mistakes. So I realized that when teams really are given the freedom to experiment and fail, they're really more likely to come up with new innovative solutions. I don't know whether you remember, but a few months ago we had on the podcast Ujjwal Kumar, and Ujjwal, as a CEO, president of robotics in the US, he really told us how he created the entire culture, the entire organization around failures. And that's powerful. It's really powerful to come up to breakthrough ideas. So number three, I would say, is the team's ability to learn and adapt, which is a nice segue to point two, right? So if you stop supporting your team to learn and adapt, really, they don't ever expect they will be able to cope with a world that is constantly changing, right? So breakthrough performance are only possible when teams operate in an environment where learning is the denominator factor. And again, Ujjwal really talked about learning. So when I hear a leader say, yeah, we want to create a learning organization, so learning has to be part of DNA. Yes, it's true. Sometimes they're really committed to it, but most of the time, unfortunately, it's just lip service. And because when you really want to create a learning organization, every single action, every single behavior, every single mindset organization is created around learning, which again, in my experience, is not so common. So it requires something more, something different than a traditional, you know, wording or language about learning. So that to me is really important, number three. So number four is the need for emotional support. That is huge for me. And I've seen this so many times, you know, in teams I work with. And by the way, that is something I always introduce when I work with teams. So our desire really to get results is great for performance, but look, often leads us to neglect people's feeling and emotional needs, as if connection is not necessary. Teams need to feel supported and valued in order to perform at their best, right? So psychology is a science that must be learned by leaders if they're really serious about people. Now, you don't need to have a master in psychology, but you need to understand people and what people say, what people think. And again, many leaders actually, they really fall into the trap that the non-human systems are just enough for performance. But the reality is that human systems are the only way to performance. So you need to create some sort of trust and openness in the team so emotions can really get surfaced and can be talked about in team dynamics. And finally, number five, I would say the team's collective intelligence. So look, we always have preferences in our team, right? It's natural. However, we really fail to realize that their collective intelligence is greater than the sum of his individual intelligence. Is this notion about collective impact, is the notion about sense of ownership, is a notion about collective impact. So, you know, use the word that you prefer, but that's what we're talking about here. So your job as a team leader is really to make sure that the team grows as one performance unit and incentive people accordingly. And that's probably the most critical piece of work the leaders need to do, because it's not a guarantee. It's not like, it's not by default. It's by design created a condition for people to operate as one single team. So that's for now. And look, I think it's interesting to talk about this. That's some of my learnings. There are more. And if you are, of course, interested to work with some of the teams, you know, contact me. But again, most important, I think, is for you as a reflection is, how am I leading the team right now? What is missing in my ability to create a high-performance team? And I would say that maybe the answer is one of these 5 points. But again, as always, I'm very curious to hear your thoughts and see what resonates with you, what makes sense, and maybe what else is missing. So share with me on LinkedIn. I would really appreciate it. And again, please leave a write review on Apple or Spotify. you know, or whatever is the podcast of choice. And again, remember, we are on YouTube and we're growing. The platform is growing incredibly well. So I'm very proud of the work we're doing. Even the show now is getting to the top ranks on all the top charts, all the major, in all the major countries. So we are getting momentum, but the only way to get the momentum is just by leaving a simple review. So again, thank you so much for being with me. So have a wonderful April. And again, let's get to the best possible version of ourselves. That's my wish for you. And you as a leader, that's what you have to do with your team too. Thank you and see you next week.